is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Dits, Bernie, Jars. Triple M's The Bump.
Roo, Dits and Bernie Vince here in Showdown Week. Gentlemen, big build-up to the game, but gee, it's hard to get excited about our sides at the moment. Geez. Let's start with the Crows first up. Two real good quarters against GWS and probably one and a bit real good quarters against Richmond. You know, for people like me that sit over the fence, you ask these, I think, a simple question. Why can't you do it all the time? Because honestly, Roo, when they came back and got to within a point against Richmond, they were fantastic.
I reckon they probably played better than that on the weekend for longer. I thought at quarter time they should have been equal.
Yep.
They just didn't kick straight and they butchered a couple of opportunities going forward. So I thought they actually played reasonably well, but they weren't efficient in the first quarter. The first half of the second quarter, they were terrible, and that's where they need to improve. Second half of the second quarter, they're actually all right. Third quarter, they were fantastic. Last quarter, they played about another 10 or 15 good minutes, and then they went missing again in the last quarter. So I reckon 2.5 to 3 quarters, but it's not good enough. They need to play better for longer. And when they're playing well, they need to make the most of their opportunities. You can't be as inefficient as they have been in front of goal and expect to win games against even half good sides.
But were the missed goals, do you think, were they under pressure, or are you saying that they did miss sitters?
Plenty of very gettable goals.
Pedler, Tex, they've got to kick them. If you're going to come back from 45 points down, you need everything to go right.
Yeah.
A big part of that is finishing when you have to finish.
Mm. But even in that first quarter, Ben, they were the same, easy, gettable ones. And the difference it makes to your own side and the how you go. And instead
deflates
of,
you, doesn't it?
Because with the rules these days, you run in from full back, Dits, and you can easy get it to the halfway in the oval.
Mm.
Now, instead of going back to the middle, opposition going, bloody hell, and you're on your toes and ready to go. The mental difference in kicking a goal compared to missing it is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
And Adelaide, in the last 2 weeks, had huge amounts of scoring shots and just not kicking the goals at the moment. It's a huge thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Goal kicking is massive.
If you go on glass half full approach, that third quarter was some of the – that was inspiring
very
watching.
Good.
It was
–
and,
good.
You know, you look at some – and it's the new players to the club. Rochelle, his energy and he's just going to get – you just want to play with him, I feel like. I wanted to play with him when I was watching because he has his knockers. Like he's saying, oh, don't high five when you're down. Don't do this. Let him go. That to me is entertainment. He's lifting and you're like, geez, if he's up, I want to be up. I was in Melbourne watching it by myself. I was watching and I'm going, geez, I would love to. I'd just love to be out there with him and get around him and go, just keep going, keep being you. Because that was exciting.
The glass half full part is they should have been 8 to 10 goals up against GWS and weren't. And against the Tigers on the weekend, if they were half accurate in the first quarter and then half took their opportunities in the third, they would have been 5 goals up instead of 1 point down.
All right, you're talking about accuracy. Andrew Jarman had this to say on the Rush Hour.
Geordie, does the club employ a specialist goal-kicking coach? Because football director Mark Ricciuto doesn't believe in specialist coaching down there. Has the Crows got one?
If that's what Roo's saying, then I would say it wouldn't happen. No, we don't have a specialist.
You don't have one? Okay.
No.
Just talk shit. We know that.
You're not into specialist coaches,
Roo. That is a load of garbage. Go and ask Matthew Nix of what I've been saying to him.
Jazz needs to learn to do research.
Where's it coming
somewhere
from? What's he saying that for?
Because he says it must have come from somewhere.
No. I'm just saying.
When does anything he says have any base to it?
That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. So you think he's made it up?
Well, his point was there's good goal-kicking coaches. Not so much coaches, but good goal-kickers that could be possibly available. Have you sounded them out? Have you sounded – who is the goal-kicking coach?
Just because you can kick goals doesn't mean you can coach.
Yep.
But I am all up for goal-kicking. When I retired, I said the most important thing I would do, if I ever went into coaching, I'd put the percentage of goal kicking into training. I'd make that a lot higher. Mm. It's forever. It's been absolutely crucial. Grand finals are won. Finals are won. Games in the home and away are won. But if you ask a coach, they'll say there's only so much time for everything because stoppages are important. Kick-ins are important. Everything's important. But you actually need a proper coach to teach you like that. There's not heaps of goal-kicking coaches out there. I wouldn't be able to list you all of them on one hand.
Yeah.
I gave Roo an example the other day.
Yep.
And I'm the odd one out here. I didn't play AFL footy like you blokes did. But what I do know is that in the days when Warren Treadray wasn't kicking well for goal, Russell Ebert had sessions with him.
Yep.
And Rick Davies had sessions with him. Mm-hmm. And one said, and I know this for a fact, one said, "Oh, your run-up's too long."
Mm.
The other one said, "Your run-up's too short."
Mm.
Now, not one of them, and absolute champions and superstars in their own right, not one of them could actually say to him what his technique was.
Yeah.
Didn't say, "Oh, hold your hand there," or "You're holding the ball wrong," or "You're dropping it." Right, right, right. One said, "Run-up's too long." So when you talk about great goal kickers, or you know, how do they teach? That's how do they coach? They're not necessarily good coaches.
They're not coaches. Look, that's not to say they can't coach or they couldn't adapt into a coach. They were just footballers, and a coach is a lot more than that, because there's all of us know who's played the game. There's 100 things that you got to look at to be a good kick. And what works for one doesn't work for another. One thing that Tex Walker said on the Brekkie show, and I agree with him 100%, is doing the same thing every time is crucial for a start, so that then at least you've got a base.
Yep.
All right? And then you can work out if your ball drops wrong, if you're walking to the wrong spot, if your balance before your finish is right, are you kicking straight through? There's 100 different things that make up for it. But what you should do with your goal kicking routine is make it exactly the same every time. That way, at least you know where you're walking, when you're going to kick, so you don't kick into the mark. There's 100 little things. Make sure you do that, and then tidy it up from there. And you can only have one bloke talking to you.
Yep.
What Ditz was saying about Warren Treadray is if you've got 2, 3, or 4 blokes giving you advice,
and your mum, your dad, your brother, your cousin,
you have one bloke. And quite often at a football club these days, with the soft cap getting cut back by 30% in COVID, the clubs haven't got the money to spend for specialist coaches. That's where it come from with Jars. 2 years ago, the Crows didn't have one because no one had the money in their cap. They didn't even have enough money to pay their assistant coaches what they were getting paid five or ten years ago.
Some of them got put off, didn't they?
Well, a lot of them got cut back. Yep. So the forward coach or the best person at the club who was doing the goal kicking did that job.
It's like a golf swing, isn't it?
I was just about to say, you're a good golfer.
Yeah.
Whenever you've had a golf lesson, how good are they at breaking down the swing and telling you
so simple
where your fingers are meant to go, your wrist, your elbow, everything, shoulder turns, whatever. They break it down. Yeah. I don't hear people in football talk like that, if you know what I mean.
Oh, seriously. They do. They do talk like that, Dits, but they can be different. Like, I reckon golfers would have, if you had 2 different golf coaches, they might teach you different as well.
But I reckon a big part of it's mental, and you cannot replicate the pressure you're under in a big final. This is where teams lose games by bad goal kicking in big games, because you can't help but naturally think of the end result, which it should be about the process. You cannot go through your head, go, geez, if I miss this, we could lose this final. We could be out. You've got to be in the moment with goal kicking.
You've got to block that out.
You've got to want the ball in your hand. Take the next set shot. So like in cricket, when you're in slip, you drop a catch. You want the next one. You don't want it to come to you. It's going to come to you. You've got to replicate it.
You should
absolutely
minimise the chance of getting it wrong with your routine. And the simple things are doing the same routine, walking in a straight line, kicking straight through, having a good ball drop, having your set steps before you kick, all of those things minimise the chance of it, so that when you're walking in, all you are thinking about is executing your routine. When you're walking in, the worst thing that can happen is, am I too close to the man on the mark? Where is the wind going? Do I need to walk around to get the extra distance? What if I miss? If you're thinking about any of those or a combination of those, your chance of kicking the goal are severely reduced. And the best players have all of that blocked out. I know when I was walking in, I knew my first step that I took in my routine, well, firstly, I'd measured 24 steps backwards, and I'd always walk backwards because I always had the eyes on the play. And then I would start on my right leg, I'd take 6 steps, and then I'd skip, and then I'd take 4 steps, and then I'd kick it. And I knew exactly what I was aiming for, and all I concentrated on the way in was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, skip, 1, 2, 3, 4, kick,
right,
and bang.
All right.
That's how you should have your routine. Whether it's six steps, three steps, whatever, doesn't matter, as long as you know exactly what you're doing at the top of your goal-kicking routine. That blocks everything out.
What I would say, I just always just run straight and kick through it, and always have something on goal-kicking. At the end of training, you can go out by yourself and you probably kick 9 out of 10 because there's no pressure.
Yeah.
Always, even if it's just a coffee or lunch or something... Something
you
just
must to, gamble.
You go, well, yeah. What's is that gambling? Gamble responsibly. But as long as it's just lunch, you got to eat, right?
Yeah.
So even if it's just something little, always have something on it. It's amazing just what that little bit of pressure would add to something mentally for you.
All right, let's get back to what happened at the weekend. Rue, we were calling the game, and I was surprised at your choice of sub, to be honest. Yep. So when Parnell went down, and you think, oh, well, that's not going to make a big difference to the game, but it actually does change your structure of how many rotations you're going to have. Phil thought, as a sub, I thought was a strange choice.
Yeah, I can totally understand why people think that. I think the reason they did that is because they went in the game with only one tall defender, and that was on purpose to try and have more of the 6'3" guys down back in Hinge and Dawson and Doudet and Smith and Michael Annie, so that when you get the ball to the ground, then you've got more speed on the ground and better ball movement. You need good ball users coming out of the back line, so that's what they went for. So they were worried that if an injury did happen to Murray or they needed some height down back, that they could bring Thilthorpe on and send Himmelberg back. That was the reasoning behind it. Whether it made a difference or not, I'm not sure. Himmelberg seemed to do all right when he went back, and Thilthorpe did okay when he went forward. So that was the cover that they had by playing Thilthorpe as the sub.
Yep, fair enough. All right, let's look at Port Adelaide. That's one of the worst performances in many years. And that's not saying that lightly. It was disgraceful. Players falling over, fumbling, dropping marks. I mean, things that real bottom sides do. And I don't think Port Adelaide's a bottom side. But how do you explain that, Bern? It was terrible.
It was, and I was saying, this is a game I can't wait. And we were all saying, it could be the game of the round. Yeah. I know we had Brisbane and Melbourne. That was a bit of a letdown too until late. But that game, I thought, right, two teams have knocked off two, what we thought, top four sides the week before, play an exciting brand, high scoring, fast, through the middle of the ground, and one team did it, and the other team, well, that was a big fail for me on the weekend. But you say how, there were minus 57 in contested ball is numbers I haven't seen.
Fifth ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you lose by 20, 25, that's a bad. You got
so tell me this: route. As two ex-players who played in the middle, you get the quarter time. Sure, who stands up and says, "Right, what are we doing about this?" Or how do we?
Your head coach.
What's going on?
Surely it was
this
mentioned.
This has been a serious problem for 2 or 3 years now. Yeah. This is not a new one. Right. We've been talking about their performance against top eight sides or in big games
and away from home a lot. Yeah,
but they need to be able to stop it at quarter time. Is that
on-field leaders, right? I mean, we asked Dawson about that.
As a midfielder, it's either your positioning at a stoppage, or you're just not good enough. Now, we know that's not the case with Port. Or they just give up. So it's a worry. It's a pattern that's happened for a few years. Now, they've had different players going through there, so you could argue, well, you know, what happened 3 years ago has got nothing to do with what happened now, because they've got Rosie in there, they've got Butters in there, they've got Horn Francis in there. They've still had Drew
Wines.
And Wines that have been there, but
they were down this,
Power Pepper.
This has happened over the last few years, and, you know, they've got to get that out of their game. If they're going to have a bad day, they've got to lose it by 10 or 15, not by 30, 40 or 57. The week before against Brisbane, it was plus 34 for contested.
I don't know what we take out of that Brisbane side, though.
That was the complete opposite.
And Port did the complete opposite the other way. Mm. So how do you read the two teams like that? It's bloody hard. But six goals from the first 12 entries too, Collingwood. So when they did get it in, they were just scoring at will.
They just don't miss, though. There was no 21-9 they kicked Collingwood.
If I'm playing against Port, pressure on the footy, and you've got them. Because, and against Collingwood, I saw the perfect team to watch, both the opposites almost. Collingwood make just as many mistakes as Port Adelaide, but their numbers turn up to the next contest hit. So if you pause the screen after a mistake that Port Adelaide makes, Collingwood will outnumber them. Mm. If you pause the screen after a mistake Collingwood makes, there's more Collingwood players there. That's why they're able to mop up from their mistakes. They come through the middle and they say, we want to play sexy footy through the middle of the ground. They're able to win it back because they keep turning up the contest. They want the contest. And this is why the contested ball numbers are way out of whack, because they win the ball after a mistake. Whereas you watch Port Adelaide, they make a mistake, it is straight down the other end. Yep. And scored against.
Yeah, no resistance.
They need to. And Brendan McCartney, you can either be a fan of his or not. I was a big fan of the way he saw footy.
So who was he a coach at?
He was a coach at the Bulldogs, yep, and then he came to the Melbourne Footy Club. And he taught us the contest, or taught the Melbourne Footy Club, the young boys now that are playing really well, Clayton Oliver, these sort of guys. You pause the screen and you have a look. You count the numbers in any sort of contest, especially after a mistake, because that's when, you know, you get down and don't chase or whatever. After a mistake, you have a look, and it was always the better team on the day had more numbers at the contest. And this is random. You know, he wasn't lining them up going, oh, I know how many's there. And on the weekend, I was sort of doing that in the box when I was calling the game, and I was like, Jesus, some Collingwood players around the field.
So there was
here.
A point. Explain this to me then, because that's interesting. I was watching on the screen, so yep. I can't see the whole ground. Yep. I was at home. Rosie dropped a mark inside the centre square. Mm-hmm. Four Collingwood players at the fall of the ball,
yep.
took it away, kicked a goal.
I remember
that.
Yep.
Right, you remember
yep.
that one?
Yep.
I then thought, gee, they got numbers. You know, they're working up. But I then thought to myself, but there are three loose Port Adelaide players somewhere.
Mm.
So are they playing a bit of Russian roulette, or
no,
do you know what I mean?
They work harder. It's called post-clearance ground ball. That's the stat they take now. So basically what that means is from a clearance, the ball's kicked. Who wins that next
contest.
Ball on when it gets to the ground? And that is about work rate.
Yep.
All right, so
that is
one
so four. What you're saying is four Collingwood players have read where that ball's going to end up. They've all run to that spot.
And Port Adelaide are probably backing Rosie in to mark that, and they're on to the next contest. That,
yeah.
But yeah, you can call that whatever you want. You're leaving early, going forward, but
so they've taken a bit of a risk.
Educated risk, thinking that Rosie's probably going to mark that. But then again, you can't all be going, can you? And I think Port Adelaide were on the weekend.
There's no doubt they are working harder than anyone both ways. And we've heard Jordan Dawson say that Adelaide need, and Tech said it on our show, that when the midfield haven't got the ball, they need to turn into defence. So he was talking about transition from attack to defence. Collingwood do that better than anyone. Port and the Crows have to get better at it. And that's why you get swings in quarters and swings in games. And that's why the Jekyll and Hyde thing has been talked about at Port and at the Crows. There's too much difference between their good and their bad at the moment. And that's what we'd be doing all the coaches and the players' heads in.
Jeez, some players out of sorts, Dits, on the weekend.
Shocking.
Like Rioli, Fantasia, Alir was bad. Georgiades had some moments. It's easy to say that after a bad loss, but I don't know where some of them whether they're pickable again this week.
Yeah. But the week before, you could not drop one player. That's why Boak was sub. I went through the list last week. I could not find one player I could drop out of Port side last week. Mm. That's why Boak was sub. And then this week, you're saying there could be 10.
Well, you could go through a lot of them, but there were some moments. Illyria, you can say, the ball came in a lot. But there, I'm talking the ones that were 50-50 balls, higher and long.
But that's when he's normally at his best,
isn't
he?
At his best, dropping off, taking marks. He even dropped a mark uncontested, thinking there was going to be some contact. There was some bad red flags for me on the weekend. And I hope that was only just a once off and they'll bounce back. But you can't be serving that up.
No.
Adelaide fans will be hoping they can do it. They seem confident. Jordan Dawson said on your show he was confident they can sort it out.
Yep.
Port fans will be hoping that they can get rid of the Jekyll and Hyde.
What about, I'll ask you, Dits, because we probably can't answer this, but are you happy with the messaging from Nixie saying we need to be patient?
No, I think they've said that enough.
Yeah, I think we're at the moment where we need
it's
to.
It's at the point where at the start of this season, I think Crows fans are saying, I reckon we've improved and I'm looking for improvement. So it's probably time to do that. Mm. And if you're 0-3, it wouldn't be very good.
Nah.
That's my honest assessment.
If I'm the media manager, I'm having a chat to Nixie saying maybe we choose our words a bit differently.
Well, what should he say?
Well, the people I've talked to
should he
or
pot
spoken
the players?
To, I think
pot
he needs
themselves,
to...
The coaches?
Not pot, but smartly just inject a little bit more of what's happening behind closed doors with players. And the players
that they're working on?
Yeah, just
things that they need to do?
I didn't really get much. I watched his whole press conference and listened to it again, and there wasn't a lot of direction for, as a supporter watching, of what was said or what's going to happen. It was more about, you know, no, we were good in the third quarter. We were poor in the other couple of quarters. Our consistency is frustrating. I heard frustrating a lot, be patient a lot.
Did you watch the whole press conference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a supporter.
Did he say he was frustrated?
Yep. He said he's frustrated. The coaches, the players, he said everyone is. But I would like to, for the players that didn't play well, we weren't happy with, just inject a little bit of that into the media. I'd like to hear a little bit more.
Name
the
players.
Honesty. And you can't be potting players. I don't want that either. Just that find the right balance. Nah, well, he knows himself. There's a certain player that he did this at this stage and he needs to be better than that. And if it continues, he will be out of the side or, you know, just little things, Roo, that, you know, maybe kick some players up the backside a little bit just to get into, because we don't really hear anything in the.
But maybe they do it behind closed doors.
Well,
and
yeah,
it's not public.
And you know what?
They definitely do it behind closed
doors. Yeah,
of course they do. Of course they do. I'm not saying that either. I'd just like to see, I don't know if that's a little bit more honesty or a little bit more just invite, you know, getting supporters inside the club a little bit more, because I didn't really hear too much. And Kenny was a little bit the same, to be honest. He just said, oh, we were poor, but he didn't really go into who and
he doesn't tend to, really.
No.
And over the years, I guess I've gotten used to that with him.
Yeah.
Early days, I used to be critical and say, come on, go harder. Say
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
But the word is, well, obviously behind closed doors, it does happen.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough. And they probably think, why do it publicly? But I think, both, you know, you asked me about the Crow. Both clubs at the moment, it's time to piss or get off the pot sort of thing, isn't it? Start saying, no, we want to win.
Yep.
I want to win. Want to win every week. Because
yep.
I think fans don't want to hear, oh, let's be patient.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hope we improve.
Like, even if it's rude,
it's time.
If it's not
both
personal,
clubs.
It's more, I gave the Ford group an absolute whack at halftime.
Like that,
I gave it to them and they didn't respond. And we're going to talk about that on Monday. That's be number one thing on the agenda. Or the midfield group. I gave them a cook. Nathan Van Berlo gave him a cook too. Well, I wanted a response. Didn't get it. We'll say third quarter, got it, but didn't get it at some stage. Or just something a little bit.
Nick's
give us
wax
something.
Midfield.
Well, you know, give us something like it. You don't, and of course it's happening behind closed doors. But I reckon the footy,
the public
want
a little bit
of like.
I think you're absolutely spot on.
We want to know that you're actually doing that. I think you're doing it. And well, we know he's doing it. But they want to know that that's happening, because they're turning up going, well, did he speak? This happened last week. Did he speak to him about it? Has he done anything? Oh, no, that's right. He said, no, I gave him a cook at half time and they didn't respond. Or I just think we're ready. Well, I'm talking Adelaide Footy Club now, maybe Port too, but Adelaide in particular, the wording's got to change from patient to this is what was happening.
I think fans want that sort of stuff. I really do.
Fans absolutely want honesty and they get. I think they get more honesty than they've ever got before.
They get good access
to a lot
of things.
I don't think you get away with telling any lies anymore in AFL footy. There's too many people that talk. And
so who's the best placed going into this week?
Jeez, that's a good question.
Well, the Crows, that quarter against Richmond, to me, shows
that
they're playing. I know it's one quarter, but that's better footy than what Port showed us on the weekend.
Yeah.
If the Crows get that right, they're going to be well-placed this weekend.
Go back 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then
it was a complete
performance. If Port play the way they did against Brisbane, they can beat anybody.
The Port just need to focus on the contest. Just want the contest and turn up to more contests, and which will look after the contest numbers. And if you put pressure on the footy, and it was mentioned on the weekend during the call, you put pressure on the footy against Port Adelaide, and they make mistakes, but they don't clean up their mistakes. So,
all right, who's best placed, Roo?
You know what? Either side could win. You just don't know what you're going to get with the credit. How long they're going to play for and if they kick their goals or not. If they do that, I reckon they can mix it with a lot of good sides. And Port Adelaide, we saw what they could do against Brisbane and we saw what they could do against Collingwood. So who's going to rock up and for how long? It's going to be a typical showdown. The showdown will sharpen up both sides, and I reckon we'll get both of them somewhere near the best. I reckon it'll be a great game on Saturday night.
All right, you've been listening to The Bump. Enjoy your week at the footy.
Roo, Dits, Bernie, Jars. Triple M's The Bump.